It's another week in the doghouse.
A little different.
Yeah, well, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome.
Except for John, you're not welcome back.
Ouch.
Because you're not here. Yeah, you're right. John's totally welcome back.
Of course.
I don't know if you noticed yet, but John's not here today. He can no longer be with us.
Just this week.
Yeah, there was a scheduling conflict. And this week we have our special guest, Sadie, my lovely wife.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sadie.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Jake's wife.
You're more than that.
I like dogs more than both Jake and John, so this will be a fun one for all you guys.
Sadie's a dog lover.
I don't know what else. I am a boring person.
You're not boring.
Them about me. That'd be more interesting.
Well, she's a dime piece, I'll tell you that.
Aww.
Nah. Well, okay. Moving on. Freaking, how was your week, Sadie?
It was long, I guess. Felt sick. Went to work.
Yeah.
Didn't go to work sick, though. Don't y'all worry.
Yeah. No going to work sick. I'm gonna phone John in so we can tell us how his week was.
Good idea.
In the meantime, tell us more.
I got a new job this week, so I'll be not in retail anymore. Pretty excited.
That's good.
Yeah.
Retail sucks. Hey, John, can you hear me? Hey, John, I don't know if you just woke up. We're recording the podcast right now, and I need you to tell me how your week is. Yeah, in like 3 seconds, I'm going to put you right up to the microphone, okay?
This will be good.
All right, I'm doing it right now. Here it is. Go ahead, John. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you now. How was your week, John?
It was fine. What? I didn't anticipate this at all.
That's fine. I'm taking you off. Well, I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye. That was John, everybody. Oh, boy.
How was your week, Jake?
My week was swell. I no longer am a mall cop as of right now.
Hooray.
That means no more kids running by on scooters yelling Paul Blart! Or people saying, hey, where's the Apple store? When they're just like right outside the Apple store. Or people that are like, do you guys have public restrooms? Like, I don't have a public restroom, but I'm sure the mall does.
Yesterday at work, someone asked me where Victoria's Secret was, and it's literally just right down the way from my store.
It's like,
just keep walking. You're fine.
Yeah. Freaking. Aren't people just the best? It's interesting to see how many people just think they're the exception to the mask wearing rule. I'm wearing a mask right now.
No, he's not.
No, I'm not in public right now.
We are home. We live together. We don't have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, wear a mask. Wash your hands.
Please.
Because there's people who work at retail and other things that see you and we don't like you. Because you're not wearing a mask.
And some places are starting to really require that, so.
Yeah, I'm sure
you might as well just full scent.
I'm sure you're a good person.
Sure.
Except I realize that the people that are wearing masks are the people who usually do group projects on their own.
Oh.
Because if you're not someone wearing a mask, you're just the one who expects everybody else to finish the work for you.
I get it.
So, yeah. Well, with our special guest, Sado, you have a dog story this week?
Sure, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Dog stories, never boring. Right?
Yeah, that's it. She listens, you guys. She listens.
Well, growing up, my family had a dog. Her name is Jessie. She is a Brittany Spaniel, so she was our hunting dog. And so hunting dogs are all really chase the animals, smell the animals, point out the animals, bark at the animals. Very high energy sometimes. And my family has a bit of land, and we have a chicken coop. And we had cows. Anyway, By our chicken coop, there was like this metal sheeting that we used on our barn when we were making our chicken coop. It's a whole thing, but it was just laying there. And we were all hanging out inside, but we heard Jessie barking really loudly. And she had been trained really well and wouldn't normally do that. But then all of a sudden it stopped and she came up to the back door and she had blood on her face. And we were really worried about her.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, we went out there and we could tell where she had come from because we watched her after she had stopped barking come from by the chicken coop. And we looked underneath this metal sheeting and there was a rock chuck. Which I don't know if you know what that's like, but it's like a land beaver that lives in rocks.
So like normal beavers are like the waterbenders of the beaver community. Yes. And rock chucks are earthbenders.
Yeah. Anyway, they're pretty gross. And it was living under this metal sheeting and Jessie was trying to get it out because she's a hunting dog. Get that out of here. And it scratched her right in the face.
Get out of here, rock chuck.
So we all had to go scare it out of our yard.
Did you chuck it out?
You just, absolutely.
You rock yeet it out of there?
Yeah.
Are there rock yeets?
No.
Can I call a rock chuck a rock yeet next time we see one?
Sure, but if we're with my family, they don't probably won't think it's funny.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, Jessie turned out she was just fine. Didn't get rabies or anything.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's a good story. My story isn't as good as yours, and it's not even my own story to tell. It's from a TV show.
Oh.
Yeah, so
it's a fictional story?
Well, or? Yes and no. It's more of a game. And I realized this week I never brought it up on the podcast, unless I have, like, 30 episodes ago. But I've slept since then, so I don't remember. Yeah, here it goes, here it is. There's a show, How I Met Your Mother. I'm sure you may have seen it.
I have.
Yes. It went on for like, what, nine seasons. Ended in 2014. Pretty good show. There's a game that two main characters, Ted and Marshall, play together when they go on road trips.
Oh, yes.
And I was thinking, you guys got to play this game. It's called Zitch Dog. And if you see a dog, you point at it and you call out Zitch Dog. And you just keep track of who wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the winner gets anything more than just bragging rights, but Ted Mosby sucks at Zitch Dog. He's just the worst at it.
It's true. Marshall can be driving and see more dogs than Ted.
Marshall can be sleeping and see more dogs than Ted. So check it out. Go play some Zitch Dog.
And I guess you guys could give yourself a prize, like buy a Snickers at the gas station and be like, if you win, you get this at the end of the road trip.
Or loser buys the winner
a slushy.
Something. Yeah.
Sounds fun. We should do that.
Bring it on.
I'll win.
I'll defeat you.
Mm.
Every time.
Mm.
I will defeat you.
Okay. We'll let you guys know.
We'll let you know how. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, I might not make a reappearance.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how well the ratings are for this episode.
If you guys all hate me, please let us know.
No, don't let us know. Don't. Oh, speaking of hating people.
What?
I check the podcast every now and then to see if anybody's left more reviews. And check this out. We got a new review.
Okay.
And I gotta say, I'm proud of our listeners for being so loyal and nice. This review came out the same week that I asked you to give us a 4-star rating. But user Ghosts of Many, you left us a 5-star review.
Wow.
And you know what? That means a lot. So without further ado, I'm going to read your review.
Oh.
Didn't mean that to sound almost like a limerick.
Kind of did.
Anyway, here we go. It's funny, fresh, and fantastic. Good humor, charming hosts, and hot takes on movies I would probably never watch. What's not to love? What's more, an incredible opening theme composed by the fantastic music Elijah. Aww.
Yeah.
Look at that. Shout out to Eli in that review.
Nice. So, it is a great opener and yeah. Closer.
And dog newser. Speaking of dog news, we're going to have dog news.
Heck yeah.
Welcome back to Dog News.
Woo-hoo. with your special new co-host.
Special new co-host?
Sadie.
Sadie the news host girl.
Cool.
I actually have dog news. It's more of a dog birthday news.
Okay.
Growing up, I would watch the news sometimes because my mom would have the news on and I was little and I didn't know I could ask to change channel. So the news would be on, and I remember very clearly my little brother was on the news on his birthday. Oh. I guess you could, like, submit a picture of your face or something for your birthday.
Sure.
And I'm telling you the story so that you realize that this counts as dog news. Anyway, my little brother, Michael, check him out on Instagram. He has a car Instagram, too. You could check it out.
It's pretty popular.
It's pretty popular. It's got, like, 80 followers on it. I'm just kidding. I don't know how many followers it has. Anyway, Michael's just hanging out, doing his thing, and one second, I'm going to see. Oh, yeah, follow it. It's Michael_Nielsen13. That's what you got to follow. He's a pretty chill guy, just doing his thing. Anyway, it was his birthday on the news, and they got to share fun facts about him for his birthday. And one of them was that his favorite band was the Backstreet Boys.
How long ago was this?
I think this was like 1999.
Wow.
Or 2000.
So he was like...
He was like little. One or two. But he said those were his favorites.
Okay.
Assuming he could talk. I don't know, but I was so jealous that Michael got to be on the TV.
Yeah.
On the old television screen. But I'll have you know, 4 days ago, there's the oldest living golden retriever had their birthday. Sadie, can you guess how old the oldest living golden retriever is?
20.
That's exactly right.
Really?
August is officially the oldest living golden retriever. She turned 20 years old 4 days ago. Here's a cute picture of August.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I don't know if you can tell, but Sadie likes dogs. Happy birthday, August.
She has so much white hair for a doggie.
Yeah, it's all across her face. Oh, my goodness. She just is a big little pupper dog.
So that actually reminds me of another dog story. Can I share it?
What?
It's a dog news adjacent story.
Oh.
Anyway, I work at Build-A-Bear Workshop right now. It's fun. I have a lot of fun there. But since we've reopened during this pandemic, lots of people have actually brought in their dogs.
Do the dogs build bears?
To make their own bears, and they let them like choose it out of the bins.
How?
They're just well trained. And then they like help them step on the pedal.
Do the dogs choose dogs to build?
Well, no. Actually, most frequently, they choose a moose or a bunny, which is weird, but it's so cute.
Okay, the bunny makes sense, because dogs eat bunnies.
Sometimes, sure.
A throwback to a dog story, like, 30-plus episodes ago.
True fans will know.
Only the real fans will
kidding.
Know. Yeah.
Anyway, it's really cute, and then after they, like, fill their little animals... They come over to the counter and their owners like say give and like put their hand by the counter and the dog will just like reach up with the animal in its mouth and drop it on the counter and we're just all like, you're so precious.
Oh my gosh, but all that slobber on the Build-A-Bears. Yeah,
it's theirs, I don't care.
Did the dog name them?
No.
What?
Their owners did it for them.
Oh.
But it's fun. Lots of the ones that come in to do that are service dogs, so they're extremely well trained.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Service dogs. Let's have a service dog on the podcast. I'd like to interview one, see what their day is like.
It'd probably just be panting.
Just a bunch of... I should have done that right in the microphone, but I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Yeah, seriously, me too. But service dogs kind of leads into the dog news I have to share today.
Oh, really?
A little bit.
Let's hear it.
In a weird roundabout way.
I guess.
There are dogs out there that are trained to find human remains in, like, if there's a natural disaster or something, so they can, what they're called, cadaver canines. Okay? This article talks about some of these cadaver canines who are specially trained to find remains from a long time ago, so they're used to find archaeological dig sites. And there's one of these dogs who is named Panda, who found a stone burial chest that had once had fragments of human bone and teeth in the chest, but were taken out for like some tests that the archaeologists were doing. That's a hard word to say.
Archaeologists.
And even though the teeth and bones had been removed, Panda could still find the chest. Which is kind of insane to me. So if this whole article is talking about all the possibilities that would be coming if we trained more cadaver dogs and how many really ancient digs we could, like, find that have never been found before by their super sniffers. Isn't that cool?
So dogs can sniff bones?
If they're trained to, like, be a cadaver canine, they'll know how to find human remains. And bones
counts for that. So all this time that dogs and cartoons were burying bones in the backyard, they were really trying to tell us what they wanted to be when they grew up?
Yep. That's exactly what this is. I thought it was clever. The article title was Indiana Bones, the Archaeologist Dogs Discovering Ancient Remains.
That's pretty cool. Speaking of ancient remains, check out the new Minecraft update. You can get ancient debris.
That's true.
That's true. Yep. Anyway, since John couldn't be here, I was going to do John's Comic Corner for him.
Okay.
In the words of John.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to the nerd.com with nerd 2Ds, and John has written some cool articles there. You can check it out. This one was written on October 11th of last year, and it's called 11 Most Powerful Weapons in the DC Universe. Did you know that there's, like, more than 10 powerful weapons in the DC Universe?
At least one more.
Now. I didn't, but I'm just going to list some of this off and tell me what you think. You ready? The God Killer.
That sounds scary.
Yeah. What the heck? When a god wants to kill another god, you've got to use an incredibly powerful magical weapon in order for that task to be completed. You know what? That's a good point. It looks like Deathstroke used one to kill Hephaestus. I don't know. I'm just kind of skimming.
Huh.
Let's scroll. The Trident of Neptune.
Nice.
I want to say that's... I'm kind of glad. Trident of Neptune versus Thor's Mjolnir. What do you think would win, huh? I mean, Neptune can kind of... Can't the Trident kind of control lightning too? I'd imagine...
I know much less about this than you do, so I have no idea.
Okay, this one was the one that was most intriguing to me looking through this.
Ready? Okay.
It's called the Sword of Superman.
Really?
I'm just saying, why doesn't Superman always use a sword?
Because he kind of doesn't need one.
I mean, he doesn't need one, but wouldn't it be so much more cooler if Superman just cut people's limbs off left and right?
I feel like if he was using a sword, he'd have to change his outfit.
To, like, what?
I don't know. Less spandex, I guess?
Maybe swap out the spandex for, like, scale armor.
That'd be cool.
And, like, chainmail. And then put him, like, give him a helmet and he's good to go, I think.
Mm. Even though I doubt if a sword would hit him, he'd get cut.
Oh, hold up. Listen to this.
Or would it?
This is this John words, of course.
Okay.
When Superman wields this sword, he becomes omniscient and omnipotent. It pretty much makes him more of a god than he already was the time this weapon was introduced.
Goodness.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, let's make omniscient, omnipotent Superman. Just, I have a question for John when he listens to this podcast later. Is there, like, a religion that follows Superman in the DC comics? There's gotta be.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
If there's, like, a Superman religion and yeah. Superman shows up and he's like, guys, like, I'm just a person. I'm not a god. And they're like, whoa, you saved my cat once.
I mean, he's not really a person. Like, we are just a person.
Well, I mean, yeah, but he has pretty good values of being a human.
True. Doesn't think he's better than all of us.
Anyway, that was John's Comic Corner. I hope John doesn't mind and gives me consent to... reading his words on his podcast. Reading his words from his thing on his podcast. Yeah, we're just borrowing the podcast, John.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's everything.
Really?
I think that's it. Thanks for listening to Canine Critique. Just kidding. Can't be Canine Critique unless we watched a dog movie.
Yes, and this week, it's my favorite movie of all time.
So maybe it's a little biased on her end?
Extremely biased.
Just a little bit, right?
At least a little bit.
But, you know, it's the highest rated dog movie we've watched in a while.
That's fair.
And in case you didn't read the title, it's Up.
It's Up!
Disney Pixar's Up from 2009. So, well, what's the story about, Sadie?
How much do you need to know?
Oh, boy. I think we're going to go over at least a little bit of it.
Well,
just this.
Carl Fredrickson has lost his dearly beloved Ellie. And they have this cute little house that they built together after they got married. They didn't build it. They just redid everything in it. Anyway, and she has since died, of course. And all around his house, big developments are going up. And he doesn't want to go to the Shady Oaks retirement home. And instead, he and Ellie had always had a dream to go to Paradise Falls, a land lost in time. I've seen this movie way too much, you guys.
Yeah, holy crap. Fun fact, Paradise Falls is based off a real waterfall.
Yeah.
It's called Angel Falls, and it is the world's tallest waterfall.
And I want to go. There's a lot of hiking we can do around there.
It's like a day. You have to take like the whole day just to hike up, and then a whole day just to hike there.
It would be a backpacking adventure in South America, which I think sounds so fun.
That does sound fun.
Anyway, Carl used to work at the zoo doing balloons. And so he decides to rig a bunch of balloons to his house and float to Paradise Falls with Ellie's house, which is a really cute sentiment. And there's like a scout kid. His name's Russell. He's a wilderness explorer. That's what they call it in this movie. And he was trying to get his assisting the elderly badge from Mr. Fredrickson. And he ends up on the porch of Mr. Fredrickson's house when it gets up in the sky on the balloon. So he's with him for the whole adventure. And I don't know, there's a lot that happens. I don't want to tell you how the movie goes. I hope you've seen it before. If not, please go watch it. It's on Disney Plus.
I assume everybody's seen this movie.
And it's amazing.
It's a dog movie.
Absolutely. Because Doug becomes one of the lead characters.
Yeah. He's a main character.
And then, of course, Charles Muntz has hundreds of dogs.
There's too many.
It's a little weird. And I was thinking about this. I don't want to, like, judge my favorite movie too harshly. Because it is a children's movie. And I love that, the fantasy about it. But all his dogs are dudes. And he's been there since Carl was a kid.
Where are the women dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a conspiracy. Gosh.
He's hiding them away.
What if he is hiding them away?
I guess. And do they just get left behind?
Oh, no. Oh, no. What if there are girl dogs? They just don't have speaking lines.
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Another question I had along those lines is Charles Muntz's dogs are all about, like, they all kind of look like the same breed over and over again. There's like bulldogs and German shepherds and pit bulls.
Yeah.
And then Doug is a golden retriever.
Yeah.
But he's the only one.
Interesting.
Anyway, I still love it. And I love that Doug, since he is the only golden retriever, is really lovable and kind and...
Everybody else is mean and grumpy.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense for that movie.
So, a fun fact about this movie, the music is great.
Michael Giacchino.
Want to hear another fun fact about the music in this movie?
Sure.
The score for this movie became the 9th score ever to win a Grammy, Golden Globe, and the Academy Award for Best Original Score.
Wow.
Yeah. The other ones were like Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid, Jaws, Star Wars A New Hope, E.T., Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The English Patient, and The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Dang.
So.
I mean, I will admit, I listen to the Up soundtrack when I'm doing homework all the time.
Well, if you're not listening to the Up soundtrack, just like if the music from Up isn't on your soundtrack playlist, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I'll bet
Music Elijah, if you're listening, let me know what you think about the Up soundtrack. And I bet you like it.
Or not even the whole thing, just the Married Life track.
Yeah,
that makes everyone happy and then sad and then a little happy again, but mostly sad in the end.
Oh, yeah. Literally the first 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes of Up is better than every movie we've seen on this podcast.
But there's no dogs in the first 10 minutes of Up.
There is no dogs. Maybe that's why it's better. Do the dogs make movies good? No.
Okay.
What?
Doug is so cute.
Yeah, you're right. I'm talking about like in general. Does adding a dog to a movie as a main character make the movie good? And I feel like if you're going to really steer into that, everybody that's made a dog a main character really focuses on the dog and not the people. So the people are just like, that's who they are the whole movie. No growth.
So do you think that's a good thing about Up, is that they have two?
Yes.
Like good protagonists and then an antagonist that are humans?
Well, not exactly that. I think what I'm saying is Up is a good dog movie because it's not about the dogs.
Ah, that makes sense.
And maybe because it's not about the dogs means it's not a dog movie.
Huh. It is kind of Doug's story because he was outcast and Alpha and whatever those other two dogs' names are. I can't remember. They're like, oh yeah, Doug's on a secret mission to find the bird. They're like hazing him, kind of.
Yeah.
It feels like. And then when he doesn't have the bird, when they get back to the, I don't know, is it a dirigible? Is that what it's called? The Spirit of Adventure. That's what it is. But he gets put into the Cone of Shame and he's so sad. But then he finds his new master, Carl, and is loyal to him. And then eventually puts Alpha in the Cone of Shame at the end, which makes me laugh so hard. When all the dogs laugh and they like wag their tails, their little butts, and like,
Well, I have a question about Up.
Okay.
So the balloons, right?
Sure.
It's a cute theme and I like it and it's nice.
Yeah.
But I've always looked at it and been like, there are not enough balloons to lift that house off the ground.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's a children's movie. It's so...
But use the right amount of balloons.
I think if they had put more balloons on top of this house, it would end up looking like a weird hot air balloon where the basket is the house. And I don't think that would have been as appealing as the imagery they went with.
It might not have been as appealing, but it would have been realistic.
But it's a children's movie.
You're right. It's a children's movie. But get this. You ready? If Carl's house was approximately 1,600 square feet.
Okay.
The average house weighs between 60 to 100 pounds per square foot. It weighs about 120,000 pounds.
Sure.
And the average helium balloon can carry like 0.009 pounds. It would take 12,658,392 balloons to lift this house off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only 20,700 that appear in the house when it first lifts off.
It's the magic of movies.
Which means it could probably only lift 185.6 pounds, which is just Russell and his backpack.
Ouch. Poor Russell.
Well, I mean, he's probably, what, like a buck 20? Is that a huge pack?
He's a chubby little kid.
He's got a huge pack.
Yeah.
Maybe a buck 40?
Probably.
With like a 40-pound pack?
Mm-hmm.
20,000 balloons to lift Russell. And there's that part where he's only like 15 on and he's flying around with that blower.
It's funny.
Oh, man. It's pretty good, though. And I like it. It's the classic at the end with the classic death of a villain for a Disney movie. Where the villain caused his own demise and the main characters.
Yeah. Do you remember watching that special feature about how they came up with that?
Yes. Share it here.
I probably don't remember as well as you.
Well, I do remember that I think Carl like had his rifle and like shot the balloon out over the top of him originally.
That was the original concept, yeah.
That was the original concept. But then they were like,
that's way too dark.
I don't want Carl to kill this guy.
Carl's not a murderer.
So then they storyboarded it a lot trying to figure it out.
It's an interesting special feature if you have the Blu-ray.
I mean, it might be on Disney Plus
in their extras, yeah.
It's so nice that Disney Plus has special features.
It is.
That's what sets it apart from other streaming services, I think.
Are we an ad for Disney Plus?
Yeah, I've been an ad for Disney Plus since before it came out.
We're just loyal.
I'm a walking ad. Where's John to say something like, boo, I hate Up? Boo! I bet John likes up.
I have no idea. He's not here.
Yeah, you know what? I bet John likes up. But I bet he only likes like the first 10 or 15 minutes. And the rest of it he couldn't care much about.
Yeah.
That sounds like something John would say. Mm. I don't know, John. Drop me a bark.
Aww.
I asked John to drop me a bark.
Yeah.
Well, frick.
One of the best like visual scenes for me in this movie is when they're in the fog and they've like just barely like landed themselves on that cliff in the fog, and then it all clears away and there's like the magical music and Carl's just like, oh, he made it. It's a miracle, because they had been just stuck in that storm.
Yeah.
And he made it to where Ellie wants him to be.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how you can have that adventure book for so long and not know there's more pictures and stuff at the back.
I think he was too afraid to look because he knew he could never give her the adventure she wanted when she was a kid.
Wow, that was deep.
I thought a lot about this movie.
Well, frick.
Because it's my favorite.
Because I think maybe, like me, I have a problem where if I read a book, I can't finish it because I don't want to finish it.
That's true. He has, I think, 3 or 4 books right now just sitting on his bedside table, unfinished. And one of them, Harry Potter 1. He hasn't finished it yet.
Okay, the problem with Harry Potter 1 is not the same as the other ones.
Well.
I just can't get into first Harry Potter, and every single person I've ever talked to is like, the first Harry Potter sucks compared to the rest.
It's true.
Just get through it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's such an easy read. I read it in second grade.
Okay, it's a very easy read. But what bugs me is this. You're in England, just use the English words. You don't have to give me American words for me to understand it as an American.
For kids, though, it's easier for them.
Well, the kids just had to have to learn.
They wouldn't have sold any American books to children if they hadn't.
I suppose.
Changed to talking about soccer.
Yeah. If they said football with a U instead of 2 O's, the kids would have been like, oh, like English football.
I wouldn't have known that in second grade.
Well,
I don't mean to fight on our podcast, Jake. What the
is this
heck?
A fight? Are we fighting?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what else there is to say about this movie
other than it's great.
I love at the end. Sorry.
Oh, I had a question for you.
Go ahead. Question first.
What do you not like about this movie?
I don't like that Charles Muntz is still alive somehow, and Carl Fredrickson looks like he's 80.
Yeah, hold
on. So let's think about this, okay? Charles
Muntz was probably like 8 or 9, maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Muntz was like maybe 30 or 40. Let's get 30 on a good day.
That
20
means
years
he's
apart.
Like 110?
No, I think Carl's like 79. Like 78.
Oh, okay.
I'm like,
so
I'm
still like
nearly positive he's
old.
78 years old. Which would make Charles Muntz like 100. 98. Almost 100. How old is... I'm going to Google search this.
It bothers me every time I watch it. But then I remember, you know, this is a kid's movie. They needed
How
a villain.
How old is Charles Muntz in Up? Yeah, here he goes.
23. Here's a summary from Pixar Talk.
Ah! So I guess Carl is 9 and Muntz is 23. So that makes Muntz 92.
Okay.
Later in the film.
That's a little more realistic to me. Because I was thinking he was...
A 23-year-old explorer? What am I doing in my life?
You're not a mall cop anymore.
I'm not a mall cop anymore, I'll tell you that much. And I have a podcast about dog movies.
Why are you talking like you're an old man?
Adventure is out there, you guys. You'd be like me when you grow up. The spirit adventure. It's me. I'm 23.
Yeah.
I'm not even 23, I'm 24.
I know.
Charles Muntz was so much further ahead of me when he was my age.
It was a different time.
I don't have a, like a Zephyr, a hot air balloon thing. I can't fly to South America right now. But holy cow, he took like 75 years to
live in his dirigible.
Yeah, what the?
His blimp.
And he couldn't find Kevin.
Nope, because she's too fast. So does that mean That's the same bird that's been alive all these years, or there's more than one?
I bet there's more than one.
Because he brought back a skeleton of one.
Yeah.
And that's when the scientists were like, it's been faked.
Because at the end, Kevin has babies.
Yeah. So there has to be another bird.
Wait, does Kevin have babies, or does Kevin lay eggs and those eggs hatch?
Birds lay eggs, so I'm assuming it's eggs.
Oh, because there's that part where Kevin's like, and the baby's like,
from the labyrinth area.
Yeah, and Kevin's like,
yeah, because she broke her leg.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well,
that's
right. Alpha bit her leg and it broke.
Freaking Alpha.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Man, there's just something special about the Disney Pixar movies.
Mm-hmm. At the very end, it makes me cry every time. Russell talks about how after his Wilderness Explorer badge meetings, he and his dad would go get ice cream and sit on the curb, and one would count the red cars, one would count the blue cars, and whoever counted the most wins. And at the end, he's doing that with Carl, and they're counting the cars, and then Doug is there, and he's always like, gray one.
Yep.
It's a good dog joke right at the very end.
It's a pretty good dog joke. But like,
it makes me cry though.
Russell's dad sucks.
Yeah. But I think that's what makes it real. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of dads that suck out there.
Well, there's a lot of dads that suck in Disney movies. Yep. They're always dead or not there.
Not always.
Except for Princess and the Frog. That's a good dad, but he dies.
Yeah.
Mr. Incredible's pretty cool too, I guess. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Why are you dissing dog movies? This is so unlike you.
Dissing? No, Disney movies?
Disney movies.
I'm just saying, get some good dads out there for once. There can be a good dad. And if it's a bad mom, she's like the worst mom. But she's always like the stepmom who's bad.
Yeah.
Like Mother Gothel or the evil
Lady
stepmother.
Lady Tremaine. That's her name.
Blah. Ursula. She's like a mom, right?
No. We're totally off track now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else to say. It'll be a shorter episode, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I don't have such strong opinions.
That's fine.
I do have strong opinions, but they're all positive.
Well, Sadie.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not also to say hot dog. It's just a good movie. You can watch it anytime you want on Disney Plus. And it's just a good movie with a cute story. It's got great music. Check it out. If you've never seen it, I'm honestly so surprised.
Same.
But
like, what have you been watching?
Yeah.
It's like, been out for 10 years.
Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl? Like, what's that about?
Ouch.
Just kidding. John, that's a joke directed only at John, and I'm sorry for the listeners for me not caring.
You just shared an inside joke. How rude.
Well, I did. Yeah, whoops. But that's the thing, though. I made it sound like John would watch that. I bet John would watch that over this, but he's seen them both.
Yeah.
John's a good kid.
It's true.
Come home, John. Wherever you are. I bet when I called him, I just woke him up. It's like 11 o'clock.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Let him relax.
Sleep in, big guy. You've earned it, kid. Well, I also think he's on vacation or something. Whoops. My bad. Anyway, anything else you want to say to the wonderful world of listenership in Canine Critique Doghouse?
Just let y'all know that Jake really appreciates all of your listens. He watches them all the time.
I do check
them.
To
see how many episodes have the most listens or how it changes from day to day. He really likes this, so.
Yeah, it's a good
thank you all for listening. It means a lot to him and me, because then he's happy.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Happy Jake, Sadie makes cake? Is that what that means?
I guess it does now.
Yay! Alright. Well, thank you to Music Elijah. Elijah David Webb for the intro, outro, dog news. It basically, if there's any other sound effect I use, it's like 99% Eli.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eli did it. Unless it's like some random other thing. Back in our early days, there was some other like royalty-free outro I used to use. But now it's 100% Eli. So thanks to you, Chief.
Yes.
And obviously the person that left that review also has a crush on you. So, aww. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
The website.
CanICritique.com. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, just everything. I mean, if you're listening to this,
you know how to find us.
Anything else?
Drop us some barks on what you think we should watch.
Oh yeah, that's right. Drop us some barks. Oh, and well, John usually says, "Catch you in the doghouse next time." So that's gonna have to be you, because I can't say that.
Oh, that is some shoes to fill. Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. John would rather have you say it than me.
All right.
Because he hates me.
Well, catch you in the doghouse next time.
Week.